Welcome to the Hay Matters podcast, brought to you by Local Ag and Feed Central. This is your go-to source for all things hay-related in Australia. I'm your host, John Paul Driver. In today's episode, we're joined by Tim Ford, founder and managing director of Feed Central and Local Ag. Welcome back.
Great to be here, JP. It's great to be on the podcast again with you.
Now, there's a lot going on in the marketplace. Where would you like to start?
Where would we like to start? Wow.
Let's talk about drought in the south and too much water in the north.
That's a great place to start, JP. It's I suppose we think it's extraordinary, but those of us that have been around for a long time know that Australia's extreme. It's just right now, it seems a little bit more extreme than ever. Many of our communities are just recovering or in the process of starting to recover from a very prolonged flooding event in Western Queensland, where some parts of the continent received annual rainfall or 2 years rainfall overnight. And that's sending a lot of water down into Lake Eyre in the top end of South Australia there. I think most people are across that story. It did receive a lot of headlines. We had lots of images of hay being dropped out of helicopters and lots of images of dead sheep and dead cattle and communities that have been torn apart by those floodwaters. And that's truly devastating. I think in total there, I was talking to the boss of Rural Aid just the other day, and it was approximately 1,000 tonnes in total that got dropped from the helicopters, sort of on a bale by bale basis. So that's an incredible effort by the charity Rural Aid and other charities that have been involved, and it was backed and supported by the state government and Ag Force as well. So there's been a tremendous effort there. There's been probably a similar quantity of hay go into that region on the truck. So overall, there's in that flood region, it is a very vast grazing area. So it's not an intensive livestock area by any stretch of the imagination. So there's probably been about 2,000 tonnes or a little bit more, which is a relatively small amount, and the fodder market has been able to handle that without a significant impact on the market. As opposed to the Lismore floods back in 2022, where it was much more intensive in agricultural, much more intensive livestock, dairy region. Those Lismore floods had a direct impact on the fodder market that perhaps the Western Queensland floods haven't had. But the big story for the fodder market is the dry in the south. That's really significant. And lots of our clients, suppliers, sellers are heavily impacted by that. And that's a serious story for the fodder market.
And I get the sense that the tension in the marketplace is rising.
Yeah, that's a good point. There is tension in the marketplace. There's a real anxiety about the supply. There are key dates have passed. In my view, the fodder market kicks off after Australia Day, when the kids go back to school after the summer holidays. From February 1, the market kicks off, and that certainly happened this year. The next key date is April Fool's Day on the 1st of April, where we're starting to cool down and people are starting to think about buying hay, and that certainly came true this year. The next key date is Anzac Day, where we'd like to see the majority of the southern regions to have had their winter autumn break, and that date has passed and there's been no rain of significance through vast areas of South Australia and Victoria. And then May 10 has passed, and May 10 is another one of those psychological dates where if it hasn't rained by May 10, then we're in for a long, hard winter where pasture growth will just get moderate, very low levels of pasture growth. If we do get winter rain through those winter rainfall regions, we've got to remember those regions are predominantly winter rainfall and predominantly a winter-based pasture system, so clover, rye, based pasture systems that should be well established in autumn with some moderate growth through winter and then lots of growth during spring. But there's just zero pasture.
So you were recently in South Australia. What were your takeaways?
Great. I love South Australia. Very, very, awesome place, awesome people, awesome countryside. I was in South Australia and did a tour of our farms and many of our clients' farms in that region, and very fortunate enough to get in the aeroplane with a couple of our clients and have a good look around. And it's extremely dry. That was just before Easter. and it was just crackingly dry as I've ever seen South Australia, and the place was ready to blow in that, you know, the winds were starting and the dust was just ready to go. The soils are very fragile and the ground cover is very low, and the sheep, I grew up with sheep, and you just sort of have this innate sense of when sheep are hungry, and, you know, they're walking fast across the paddock with no dog or person behind them. They're searching for feed and their heads are down and they're walking fast and they're raising dust as the sheep are walking across the paddock. And so you're just incredibly dry. And, you know, talking to generational farmers down there, and got four generations working on the farm, and, you know, the grandfather who comes to the farm daily, he's in his 90s. He has experienced it this dry before, but none of the other generations working on that farm have experienced that. I just think from sitting here in Queensland, it's just really not possible to. I know we have plenty of droughts and we've had plenty of droughts, but until you go there and see it personally, you just don't get the full comprehension of it. So, you know, it's a very significant drought, and the impact on that to the industry is that's the question that we can unpack, I suppose.
So, hay doesn't usually flow Queensland south. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
Will there be any restrictions, thinking about biosecurity restrictions?
Yeah.
What is it that the growers need to know?
We're days away from seeing Queensland supplying hay into South Australia if it hasn't already happened. So there's a couple of key messages there. For our Queensland buyers, there's a very strong message that there's a level of complacency in Queensland because the seasons have been just so good, which is absolutely extraordinary. You know, I've been living and working on the Darling Downs for 30 plus years, and I haven't seen the Downs have a run, or Southern Queensland have a run of good seasons like we've had. So a level of complacency about hay supply has come into the market in Queensland. Our buyers just need to be really careful of that, because the hay is going to slip south really, really quickly. In historical terms, we would never ship hay from Queensland south. Like, we would never ship hay even from Queensland to New South Wales, even to our neighbours next door. The hay would historically come south. You know, the Southern Australia has very, very good production systems for bulk dry matter of very high quality hay. So bulk dry matter of cereal hay, especially, it's a winter-based rainfall system. It's a winter-based growing system. And historically, traditionally, Southern Australia would produce large volumes of dry matter in making the hay cheap and affordable and still viable for the growers in Southern Australia, where that just doesn't happen in Queensland. So we just don't get the bulk. So it's like trying to grow sorghum in Victoria. You don't grow lots of hay in Queensland because it's just what the natural system tells us to do. So we've now got all our production regions suffering, you know, an extensive shortfall. And not only that, they don't yet have next year's crop planted, or they might be planting it, but they're planting it dry, so it's not sort of germinated. So, and every day that goes, yields fall back because the production season is shortening up now. So we've got the vast majority of our supply region totally exhausted of hay supply. Like, the vast majority of South Australia and Victoria, 90% of Australia's hay comes out of Victoria. And then the rest comes out of South Australia, basically. So you've got Victoria that's basically every shed empty. You've got South Australia that's basically got every shed empty, because this is not their first dry year. They've had two or three dry years on the trot now. And then you've got New South Wales has had some pretty good seasons, so there is a build-up of hay in New South Wales. It's being sold down rapidly. And then there's a build-up of hay there's a little bit of hay in Southern Queensland that's going to be sold down fairly rapidly, fairly soon. You know, I said to the team here a couple of days ago, there was a few hours here the other day where our office was as busy as it has ever been. And, you know, we've been through the millennial drought, we've been through the droughts during the 2000s, we've been through the 2017, 18, 19 drought, where the phones were incredibly busy. You know, the other day, the phones, for a few hours there, the phones were as busy as they've ever been. And then plus the websites, plus the mobile phones, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, there's no doubt that there's a really significant event happening at the moment that's having a really big impact on the fodder market.
As we consider that hay movement from Queensland south, take me through the biosecurity concerns.
Well, that's it too. That's a really good consideration that we've never had to have before. and the biosecurity issues that are happening. There is a very small area of Queensland that is in a biosecurity lockdown area for fire ants. And that is basically a very small region around the Lockyer Valley, you know, Gatton, Laidley as the two main towns there, and up to some regions in the Gold Coast. That Lockyer Valley is traditionally a large hay production region in Queensland, but we've got to put that in perspective because Queensland is not a major hay production state, and that particular part of the world is predominantly small bales for the equine industry on Brisbane, Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast. So it's not historically doesn't have a strong place in the national market of hay. However, there is a message out there that all hay from Queensland has fire ants, and that's definitely not the case. It's a very small region. The Queensland government has been quite active in suppressing the fire ants. They don't necessarily have them under control, but they've done a good job in suppressing them. And in some regions that in some regions they're not under control, but they've certainly been suppressed to a very small geographic region in the scheme of things. And there is a total ban taking hay out of those regions into New South Wales. Taking hay out of those regions into Queensland is subject to certain biosecurity protocols, which the majority of growers are achieving. And then the rest of Queensland is fire ant free. So the key message here is that the vast majority of Queensland is fire ant free, and the growers and the industry has a pretty good handle on who's affected and who's not affected.
Sum it up for me, Tim. What's the risk of moving hay out of Queensland in the non-fire ant areas?
The risk would be as negligible as anywhere else in the country. So there's, you know, buying hay out of the Darling Downs, for example, the risk of getting fire ants out of the Darling Downs would be as low as getting fire ants out of the Riverina, or out of northern New South Wales. There is just no fire ants reported in the areas outside of that. So, you know, really buyers should be really comfortable in buying hay out of Queensland. There will be some biosecurity protocols, and we'll put that in the show notes and the newsletter that goes with this podcast. We'll get the specifics of those. But for example, this fire ant issue in Queensland has resulted in the South Australian government putting restrictions on the movement of hay and into South Australia from any state. So if you're wanting to take hay into South Australia from any state, you need a plant health certificate, which would be provided from the South Australian Department of Primary Industries. And we'll put specifics. We've got experts in our business that have been really honing in on this. So we'll put the details in the show notes. But there are restrictions in moving hay from any state into South Australia, which is something that we need to be careful with. To date, it hasn't caused a major problem. The turnaround time has been very good. It's just something that, as an industry, we need to be aware of.
All right. Do you want to talk hay prices?
Yeah, we can talk hay prices.
So where are we at on oat and hay?
Look, oat and hay, the key point is availability. So through Victoria, availability is low, and oat and hay prices for, you know, what we would regard as a feed central A grade, visual A grade quality, would be around that $400 a ton ex farm mark. And Lucerne would be, depending on quality, you know, potentially $450 to $500 or a little bit more for the really good quality product. And then vetch is basically unavailable, unfortunately. And then the straw market is very, very tight in the supply of straw. So overall, the market is very tight. There is still some product coming into the system. So it's not completely exhausted, but there's still some product coming into the system.
Okay, let's shift gears here and talk about Local Ag, Local Ag Plus, and Feed Central. There's some new names here, and let's try to get folks familiar with them.
Yeah, look, a lot of people would be familiar with that. That we launched Local Ag as a new platform, a new e-commerce platform earlier in the year. The recent really busy period in the hay market has really put Local Ag through its paces. and it's and perform really, really well. So basically what we did was we shut down the very well-known Feed Central marketplace, or the Feed Central Buy Now page, where there was lots and listings of hay all graded, feed tested, and was giving out delivered prices. And we shut down that site and redirected our buyers over to the new local ag platform. And we did a previous podcast about that, about the time we were doing it. We are now 4 months in, and or a little bit more than 4 months in, and we've had a lots and lots of feedback and lots of learnings out of that.
Let's go through Local Ag versus Local Ag Plus.
Yeah, you're ahead of yourself here, JP. Local Ag Plus. So we got lots of feedback. We were always planning on Local Ag Plus, but we had to bring it forward because we had lots of feedback that the buyers wanted the delivered price. And it was interesting because when we had only the delivered price, we got lots and lots. And when we had the delivered price, we had lots and lots of questions about what's the ex-farm price. So we sort of go, you know, under the old system, it's always been like, what's the ex-farm price? And then we took the delivered price away and went back to ex-farm prices, and then everyone wanted delivered prices. So we hadn't got rid of that code at all. So we were able to quickly reinstate as Local Ag Plus the delivered prices, which is something we were always planning on doing, but we were thinking that it could be done later in the year. But with the demand and everything, we were able to quickly reinstate Local Ag Plus. So what Local Ag Plus does is it gives delivered prices. So when people are on the Local Ag website, they will see some little flags where they can get delivered prices, and it just takes them to another page that's very similar, and allows, instead of getting ex-farm price, it gets delivered prices, including freight and all the fees and everything else. So it was great to get that feedback, and it was fantastic that the team was able to respond to that so quickly and get that up and running. That'll be there. It'll be there permanently now. And that was about the first big lot of feedback that we got. So, you know, where we're at now is just getting the feedback from clients and responding to it, because, you know, more and more, as I said in the original podcast where we started talking about Local Ag, there's just that group of clients that are just come around the business, and they, when we do something like this, they get engaged and they give us feedback, and that's exactly what's been happening, and that's really awesome, and you know, we're very appreciative of that feedback. I wish we could action all of it immediately, but sometimes we have to stage it and to be able to achieve it.
And just for clarity, Feed Central's not completely gone.
No. So Feed Central, where we want to get to, and we're aiming to get there for the 1st of July, is that essentially we want to have Feed Central as the quality assurance business, and there's an increasing role for Feed Central quality assurance business as biosecurity, quality assurance, on-farm visual testing and grading of hay, as well as inventory management, assisting growers with inventory management, and also quality assurance, NIR, on-farm quality assurance, and lab feed testing and so forth. So really want to separate Feed Central to be that dedicated hay quality assurance company, which is what it's really well known for. And then Local Ag becomes the platform, and then they operate as two separate companies. And then Local Ag Plus is for those buyers wanting delivered prices, wanting personal service, account management, and so forth. So it will be a little bit for clients to get used to, but fundamentally within the market, I believe there's a need for a dedicated quality assurance business for the fodder industry, and then there's a need for a separate marketplace and trading mechanism, and Local Ag is the trading marketplace, and then Local Ag Plus is where there's account management, personalized service, 100% of trucks and contracts being managed and trucks being managed by our team and so forth. So it's sort of, we're unpacking and discovering new markets and so forth within the fodder industry. But then, you know, Local Ag in particular, being that marketplace, will have the opportunity for the clients that love the way we do things, can go on and list other products like grain, cattle, sheep, you know, we've got some vehicles advertised and so forth. But our fundamental core that we're wanting to focus on at the moment is that hay business and separating the quality assurance business from the e-commerce platform. And, you know, that's work in progress, but we're certainly making great headway in getting that done. And then we expect to have all of these changes, new marketing material, new company and so forth established for that 1st of July this year, which is, you know, obviously our financial year.
All right. Well, with that, Tim, thank you very much for sharing your market insights with us and talking about the development of Local Ag. It's fun to watch and learn as we go. Again, I've been joined by Tim Ford, the founder and managing director of Feed Central and Local Ag.
Great to be here, JP. Always a pleasure.
All right. This podcast is proudly presented by Feed Central and Local Ag. Stay tuned in for upcoming episodes.